Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
At the end of every single video is two sets of credits. Buried in there is an address where I say, if you want to send me stuff, write to me at this address. Correspondence. P.O. Box 168, Atlas, Michigan, 48411. So I go to my P.O. Box every couple days, pick stuff up. People mail me letters, analog mail. I like it. And I've mentioned before that I like getting stuff, including T-shirts. People send me T-shirts, double XL, to the P.O. Box. So I actually had postcards made so that if you send me something with a return address from America, that's important, I will drop a postcard in the mail back to you and thank you. Also, just to let you know that I got it. So during a live stream a couple weekends ago, I do live streams on Sunday at 1 o'clock Eastern time. People from all around the world get in the live stream. So I get people from Finland and Sweden and Norway and Australia, Germany. And I had an interesting discussion with a gentleman from Germany because his name is Matthias, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. But he commented something about being from Germany. I think he's in Berlin. And I said, oh, it's funny. I'm right now reading a book written by a German. And I was reading a book written by the highest ranking survivor of the Bismarck, the German World War II battleship. And I had a brief discussion with him about that. And so in the mail yesterday, I got a letter that was postmarked Germany, Deutsche Post, Germany. And I looked at it and said, wow. And it felt like it had something inside of it. So I opened it up, and inside is a postcard of the Bismarck being launched. And obviously this is before it's got its guns on it. So this is actually like when the, you know, the hull had just been completed and pushed out into the water, and they're going to start finishing the work. And this is a great photograph. I'd not seen this particular photograph before because the book I read contained a lot of photographs, but not that one. So it's kind of cool to see that. But Matthias included a letter with the postcard and said, Dear Mr. Leto, I do enjoy your broadcasts on YouTube very much. Some weeks ago, we had a small interaction about the Bismarck. You told me that you were reading a book and that you have some decent knowledge about the ship. As a small token of my appreciation, I send you a postcard which is marked Feldpost, meaning Military Postal Service. It shows the Bismarck after her launch. I was told it was an original postcard from 1939, but I'm not so sure about that. So that might be a case for you to talk about Leonard French. We can figure this stuff out. I hope you enjoy the small gift. Here's where we get to it. If you are looking for a topic for your broadcast, a lot of Germans are intrigued with the USA's obsession with speedy cars. Driving a Camaro, Viper, Hellcat, etc. in the U.S. seems a little odd considering the speed restrictions and the fines that come with them. During my vacations in the U.S., the highest allowed speed, if I remember correctly, was 75 miles per hour. My humble German SUV with only 184 horsepower can easily do 115 miles per hour. When driving a German Autobahn, which is just around the corner, I quite often drive at 80 miles per hour as a cruising speed and occasionally faster to pass other cars. So why buy a muscle car when you can only crawl on the American highways? So many regards from Berlin, Matthias. And that's a great question. That is an absolutely fascinating question. And I don't know if there is an actual answer to it that anybody's ever done to, you know, statistically prove this or get in the mindset, do the psychological study. I'm not sure how you'd do that. But I can tell you that I had my first cool car when I was 18 years old, 17 years old. I bought a 1969 Dodge Charger when I was 17 years old, which is, of course, the same Dodge Charger that the General Lee off of Dukes of Hazzard was constructed from. And it had a big block Mopar in it, and it was a fast car. Now, the fascination with most people buying cars for the street in America was acceleration, how fast you could accelerate. So light turns green, you stomp on it. How fast can you get away from the light? And so it's more in terms of quarter mile drag racing type speed than it is top end speed. But I'll agree that there is a fascination with that also. So if you watch NASCAR or Indy cars, those cars go very, very fast. And so people will often talk about top end speeds as well. But I've always thought that the number one focus of Americans with their fast cars was acceleration, 0 to 60 or a standing quarter mile. And again, those are a little different than the top end speed, but it still gets back to the same question. But why? Because you don't accelerate away from a light every single time trying to see how fast you can get to 60 miles an hour. I've got a Dodge Viper, as I've mentioned before, that'll do 60 miles an hour in first gear if you want to. You can leave it in first and just floor it up to 60 miles an hour. Now, it's not the best way to get there, but you can do it without redlining the engine. And again, why? And it's an interesting thing because most of the time people buy fast cars not to drive them fast, but it's because it's almost like a status symbol or the way it makes you feel to go, I've got a fast car. I could drive fast if I wanted to. And that's basically it. It's just the feeling you get from having a car that could go fast if you wanted to. Now, most people I know who've got fast cars have at one time or another out on the road late at night or some desolate piece of highway east of Omaha, just, you know, wound it up to see how fast it would go. And you hope that you don't stumble upon a state trooper who just happened to be out there or stumble upon a, I don't know, big old moose walking across the road. But most people have done that at one time or another, but they do it every single day. And again, there are exceptions to every rule. And I can tell you that I've had a client who was one of the guys who got ticketed over and over and over again for crazy speeding stuff. And I've actually seen somebody's driving record that I thought may have almost been a joke. Someone was putting me up, I was looking for hidden cameras when they showed me the driving record and how many speeding tickets they'd gotten. Because, you know, these are choices and behavior. You can drive slower if you want to. And most people will, if they have problems, go through a phase. They get pulled over a couple times. And after they paid a few expensive fines or hired a few expensive attorneys, they realize, hey, this is not worth it. And they slow down. I've known people who got rid of cars because the car got them in trouble. I knew somebody who owned a Dodge Stealth. And that was a hot car back in the early 90s. And got so many tickets in the Dodge Stealth, got rid of it and got a Taurus. Now, you can get tickets in a Taurus, but apparently it's not as tempting. Okay, so I can tell you that I love driving my Viper. And I don't speed in my Viper, but it's fun to bring it up to speed limit quickly. And it's fun to take the entrance or exit ramps on the freeway a little faster than you can in a typical car because it hangs on the road so well. And, you know, speed limit now on I-75 is actually 75 miles an hour. And most people think that you can drive 5 over without much trouble. So cruising along at 80 miles an hour, it's a fun thing to do, you know, when you're out in the middle of nowhere and traffic conditions allow for it. But, you know, they tell me my car will do 180. But I'll not do 180 in it for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is I have zero faith in the roads in Michigan. And so, you know, if 60 miles an hour is 88 feet per second, okay, I could do the math on that as to how many feet I'm covering if I'm doing 180, but it's a lot of feet per second, right? And so if I'm on a road, even if it's perfectly straight and I'm sailing along at 180 miles an hour, again, I've never done this, but if I did, I could overtake something. There could be something in the road that I couldn't see and react to in time. So I could be cruising along and there could be, oh, I don't know, two or three big snapping turtles with shells like this in the middle of the road. And I've seen snapping turtles in the road. I've seen them. I've seen snapping turtles in the road that were too tall that even if they pulled in all their legs and ducked in their head, could not fit underneath my Viper. So if I hit one of those doing 180, I'm not sure what would happen. It wouldn't be good for the turtle, but it probably wouldn't be good for me or my car. So the question is, you know, why are Americans obsessed with this? We just are, and we always have been, and we've never had an Autobahn type situation for the most part where people could go. I know there's some portions out west where there used to be no speed limits and so on, but, you know, if I lived in Germany and had my Viper with me, would I be out on the Autobahn testing my Viper to see how fast it would go? Probably. Would I try to see if it would do 180? Maybe. But my understanding is the Autobahn is like laboratory conditions compared to American roads, which are, I don't know what you want to call them, but they're not good. They're not good. So again, why are we fascinated with it? I don't know. I don't know. It's in many ways, it's almost like a status symbol to say I'm driving a fast car. I don't have to be driving it fast. It's still a fast car, you know. So there are all kinds of, you know, reasons that people find things attractive. And, you know, we get cars, certain cars to like the way they look. And there's cars that look fast, okay? And so you know that a car is fast. You can still enjoy it without driving it fast, if that makes any sense. But I also liken it, I guess, to if you have a stereo system. In the old days, people used to talk about how many watts their stereo system was. So you got a stereo system to play your records. And you have a 100-watt stereo system, and you live in an apartment. And you go, why would you buy a 100-watt stereo system? Because if you turn that thing anywhere near half volume, people three stories up are calling the cops. And it turns out, though, that a stereo system in the old days that had a huge range of power to it would sound better down at the low end of power than a 10-watt system running at full power, okay? So I think that my car running even in the speed limits, talking about my Viper, is more fun to drive than a lesser powered car, which takes a bit of time to get up to the speed limit, if that makes any sense. So I'm not sure. That's my understanding of it, my explanation of it. My viewers may have more explanations to add to it, but it's a great question. But again, I got to thank Matthias because he sent me the postcard of the Bismarck shortly after launch, and you'll recall that shortly after it set sail, it was no more. So, fascinating story. If you want to look up the book I'm talking about, the book is called Battleship Bismarck, and the man who wrote its last name is Mullenheim. It's hyphenated, but one of the names is Mullenheim. So, fascinating story. Matthias, thanks for the postcard. Thanks for the letter. And again, like I said, if you send me analog mail with a return address, I'll send you a postcard. So there you go. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. The reason I talk to myself is because I'm the only one whose answers I accept.